This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. Coming up this hour.
The dollar slumps after the Federal Reserve keeps monetary policy unchanged and waits to see where the economy heads under President Trump.
Investors now await word from the Bank of England on new growth and inflation forecasts for 2017.
The maker of Lysol in talks in a $16.7 billion acquisition.
The nation has a new Secretary of State. Rex Tillerson was sworn in last night. Plus, trouble for President Trump's pick for Education Secretary. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Battle of New York in Brooklyn. The Knicks rallied and beat the lowly Nets. In the Big East, St. John's won. Seton Hall lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1200 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak this morning being brought to you by SEI. In the future, the asset management business will be profoundly different. Find out how SEI's global operating platform can help you navigate the new operational frontier at SEIC.com/imagine.
It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures are down 8 points, Dow futures down 67, and NASDAQ futures down about 23. The DAX in Germany is down almost 0.4%, CAC in Paris down 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 down less than 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.2%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32nds, yield 2.46%. Yield on the two-year, 1.20%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 24 cents to $54.11 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $11.10 to $12.1940 an ounce. The euro, $1.0816, the yen 112.45.
Federal Reserve officials yesterday voted unanimously to keep monetary policy unchanged as they wait to see where the U.S. economy is heading under President Donald Trump. Since the announcement, the dollar has slumped against all of its major peers. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Risks to the economy, the statement said, still appear roughly balanced, and it noted measures of consumer and business sentiment have improved of late, the only real new language. Attention now turns to Valentine's Day and the Ides of March, Janet Yellen's next congressional testimony on the economy and monetary policy, and the Fed's next policy meeting, both of which are sandwiched around Donald Trump's address to Congress, at which he's expected to lay out his fiscal plans. And those plans will go a long way toward determining what the Fed does next. Michael McKee, Bloomberg, Washington.
Thanks, Michael. The Bank of England announces its rate decision today. While it's expected to keep its key rate and quantitative easing program unchanged, Governor Mark Carney is expected to raise growth and inflation forecasts for the year. Bloomberg's Neera Chahich is covering the story from the BOE in London.
Governor Mark Carney may highlight potential longer-term threats from Brexit that may damp any speculation about tighter policy. It's a delicate balancing act for Carney, who spent much of 2016 fending off accusations he was being far too gloomy about the economy. 3 months ago, Carney said the bank's next rate move could be up or down. Now, since then, the pound has stopped falling, growth has been solid, and inflation has picked up. While inflation will breach the BOE's 2% target within months, the Monetary Policy Committee has indicated it's keeping its emphasis on supporting growth for now, a trade-off that may become more challenging if the economy keeps up its current momentum. Neera Chahich, Bloomberg News, London.
Thanks, Neera, and we'll bring you live coverage of the BOE's decision at 7 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Mark Carney's press conference at 7:30.
As European investors await word from the Bank of England, they're also digesting several earnings reports this morning. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Anna Edwards joins us live from our London Bureau with details. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, John and Karen. Yes, it's been a busy earnings day so far. Shares in Deutsche Bank are weaker by more than 5% as the bank reports fourth quarter trading in debt and equity that missed analysts' estimates. Revenue from debt trading, that's the bank's biggest source of income, rose 11%, but equity trading fell 23%. CEO John Cryan is shrinking the trading operations built by his predecessor and raising capital levels eroded by misconduct costs. Shares in Royal Dutch Shell are higher despite the company reporting fourth quarter profit that missed estimates. in all three of its principal businesses. Rising crude costs sapped profits at its refining unit, but an increase in cash flow and lower debt concerns helped to lift the stock this morning in European trade. And shares in Novo Nordisk, the world's largest maker of diabetes medicines, are down more than 5% as the company pares back its sales outlook for the year and warns that prices of insulin in the United States will continue to decline. Anna Edwards, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Anna. And M&A news this morning, there are talks of a possible $16 billion deal in the consumer health industry. With the details, here's Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
Reckitt Benckiser Group is in talks to buy baby formula maker Mead Johnson Nutrition. The UK-based maker of Durex condoms says it's discussing an offer of $90 a share for Mead. That's 29% higher than its closing price yesterday and would amount to a $16.7 billion deal. The offer is Reckitt's latest push to grow its consumer health business and increase its presence in Asia. Shares of Mead Johnson surged 23% in late trading following the news. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Patrice. Facebook is reporting an increase in revenue that beat forecasts. Bloomberg's Carolyn Hyde reports from San Francisco.
The amount of users continue to ramp up. They now have close to 2 billion individuals logging on a monthly basis. When we spoke to the CFO of Facebook, David Wehner, he continued to say that it is businesses that are adding to the growth potential of Facebook. The fact that they are being lured onto mobile via Facebook, via Instagram, and they are converting into advertisers. We got some new numbers in terms of the user base of businesses. There are 65 million pages on Facebook for businesses and 5 million on Instagram. Significant growth on a year-on-year basis. Caroline Hyde, San Francisco, Bloomberg News.
Caroline, thank you. And we're watching shares of Facebook in early trading. They are little change this morning. Apple shares down about 0.5%. Futures are lower as well, with S&P futures down 8.5 points, Dow futures down 68, NASDAQ futures down 23, the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 2.45%, and NYMEX crude oil at $54.17 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:07 on Wall Street, and it's time to get news from around the world this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. The new Secretary of State will speak at the State Department this morning. Rex Tillerson was sworn in last night after he was confirmed by the Senate 56-43. The former chief executive of ExxonMobil spoke after he was sworn in.
I want to express my profound thanks to President Trump for giving me this extraordinary opportunity to serve my country.
President Donald Trump called it an incredible honor. Donald Trump's pick as Education Secretary, Betsy DeVos, is in trouble. Two Republican senators promised to vote against her. Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska oppose her nomination. If DeVos loses the support of one more Republican, as well as all Democrats, her nomination could die. There are no reports of arrests or injuries following the protest of a speech by Breitbart News editor Milo Yiannopoulos at University of California at Berkeley. The speech was canceled. Police say a smaller group of protesters hurled smoke bombs, broke windows, and sparked a huge bonfire. The once front-runner in France's presidential elections, François Fillon, is facing calls to give up his bid for the job. Bloomberg's Caroline Conan has more from Paris.
This would be a first in the history of French politics, but a handful of Republican lawmakers are starting to publicly question François Fillon's situation. One of them, Georges Fenech, said on the radio that his bid is now very, very compromised, and the outcome of the Republican primaries is now void. Caroline Conan, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
Chancellor Angela Merkel is in Ankara today as tensions continue between Turkey and Germany over terrorism and immigration. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan has more from Istanbul.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel will meet both Turkish President Erdogan and Prime Minister Yildirim during her one-day visit. They will focus on bilateral ties as well as the fight against terrorism. Merkel is also facing a tough election battle this year, and the refugee crisis is set to be a key issue. Turkey's strained ties with the EU could also be high on the agenda. Simon Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak, Istanbul.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates. And good morning, John Stashower.
John, the Battle of New York in Brooklyn. Either the Nets were going to get their 10th win of the season or their 40th loss. Looked for much of the night that it would be a rare Brooklyn victory. They didn't trail until the fourth quarter when the Knicks went on a run.
Jennings drives inside on Lopez. Nowhere to go. Now what? Six to shoot. Porzingis for three. Oh, it dropped in off the front rim. The glass and in for three. It hung in the air. What was going to happen? And it fell through the net.
Mike Crispino, Knicks Radio, with a 16-2 run. Knicks went from down 10 to up 4. They beat the Nets 95-90. Kristaps Porzingis, who was sick and missed Tuesday's game, scored 19 points. But it was the bench that really won it with 45 points. Willie Hernangómez had 16 with 16 rebounds. Sasha Vujacic had 2 4-point plays. The Knicks have not had back-to-back wins since December. And it won't be easy. Their next game is Saturday at the Garden against the Cavs. Word is the Knicks are still trying to trade Carmelo Anthony to Cleveland for Kevin Love, and the Cavs are still not interested. Cleveland last night beat Minnesota. College basketball, the teams ranked second and third. Met Kansas beat Baylor 73-68. The Jayhawks have won 51 in a row at home, and Baylor is 0-15 at Allen Fieldhouse. Fourth-ranked Villanova won at Providence, now 21-2. Also in the Big East, St. John's got 23 points from Bashir Ahmed and beat Marquette 86-72. Seton Hall lost a tough one at Xavier 72-70 on a shot with 4 seconds left. ACC, Syracuse won in overtime at NC State. John Gillen of the Orange, 43 points. He made 9 of 10 three-pointers. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. Other sports news this morning. Former San Francisco 49ers cheerleader is suing NFL executives and team owners for allegedly conspiring to suppress wages for cheerleaders. The lawsuit seeks class action status for all NFL cheerleaders and estimates damages between $100 and $300 million. According to the filing, NFL cheerleaders receive only a flat per game fee. They aren't paid for rehearsal time or community outreach efforts. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue at 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
E-certification. Fuel your team's mastery of physical and financial energy markets with ERP certification, the only globally recognized designation for energy risk professionals. Learn more at GARP.org/ERP. Today we are watching the dollar as it slumps against all its major peers after the Federal Reserve gave dollar bulls little to be optimistic about after the worst January in 30 years. Global equities are retreating as investors scrutinized mixed earnings from corporate heavyweights. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 9 points, Dow E-mini futures down 72, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 24. DAX in Germany is down about 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 21 cents to $54.10 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.2% or $14.50 to $12.22.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.0812, the yen, 112.34. We're also looking for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. And almost three dozen companies in the S&P 500 scheduled to report earnings today. They include Amazon.com, Visa, and ConocoPhillips. In Asia today, equities finished the session mostly lower, and Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Japanese equities and those in Hong Kong drove losses in the region. The Nikkei 225 closing down by more than 1% in Tokyo as the yen gained against a downbeat dollar. Stocks in Hong Kong continued to be sold off, investors still playing catch-up after markets were closed on Monday and Tuesday. Markets in China remain closed as the nation celebrates Lunar New Year. The ASX 200 finished marginally lower in Sydney, but the Aussie dollar jumped to its highest level in almost 3 months. This is December trade data topped estimates. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Protesters hurled smoke bombs, broke windows, and sparked a massive bonfire last night at the University of California at Berkeley. The violence followed peaceful protests against a scheduled talk by alt-right supporter Milo Yiannopoulos. The talk was canceled. President Donald Trump is scheduled to speak this morning at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington. Religious conservatives who helped propel Trump to the White House are watching closely for him to deliver on promised protections for religious objectors to gay marriage and abortion. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Nets 95-90. The Celtics and the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins lost to the Capitals 5-3. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. It is now 5:21 of Wall Street. Deutsche Bank reporting fourth quarter trading revenue that missed analysts' estimates. There are continuing concerns about the company's finances. That is weighing on clients. The shares right now down 5.2%. Let's bring in our first guest to break down the earnings from Deutsche Bank. Otto Dichtel, he joins us in the London studio this morning. He's the Stifel Nicolaus European Managing Director. Otto, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us. I guess the revenue from debt trading, maybe not a surprise there. That's the biggest source of income. But when you look at the trading revenue from the trading revenue on the other side, a bit of a disappointment. I would have thought that would have gotten a boost after we saw the results from U.S. companies.
Yes, it looks like the market is a bit disappointed. I would say, though, I mean, to me, it doesn't all look bad, really. I mean, in some ways, I mean, the year-on-year comparison actually doesn't look too bad for some of the areas and is actually improved. So, you know, there's, I think, an argument to be had there that maybe not everything is terrible. It was a tough quarter for Deutsche. I mean, certainly the news flow hasn't helped. They're deleveraging in contrast to many competitors. That also doesn't help. So a tough time for them. So within that, I think, you know, there's also some things to weigh on the positive side, really.
What's that?
Well, that I think in some of the areas, year on year, they have improved, and they have, according to their statements, you know, managed to maintain a good footprint with their clients. They also say the beginning of the year has started strong. So, you know, those are also things to keep in mind. And like I said, I mean, a tough quarter with deleveraging, is maybe, you know, then a bit difficult to compare, to peers that are basically, you know, going at the market with full speed.
Is the bad news, just compiled of one-offs?
Well, it adds, of course, a lot. But, I mean, most of those, I think, were largely expected. So it does seem like, on balance, many seem a little disappointed with the underlying results. Yeah, the one-offs, I think, you know, like I said, there were quite a few, many expected. A few will no doubt continue into 2017, so you know, it's a work in progress. It's a turnaround story, I think, really. And I mean, maybe that also plays a bit into the share price performance this morning. You know, where the shares have actually recovered quite strongly over the last half year, and now maybe it's lacking a little bit of spark to keep that momentum going.
Are there any hints that we're going to get a strategy review a little later this year?
Yes, there is an expectation that in a few months the bank will review its strategy once more, once the regulatory picture becomes completely clear, I guess. I mean, even clearer than what we have already. I mean, of course, they're already working on a big strategic program that they have revealed some time ago. But yes, there's supposed to be an update in a few months. Nothing in the announcements this morning, though, about that gives any great hints.
We got word, a headline had crossed just a couple of minutes ago. John Krayen expecting Deutsche Bank to be profitable in 2017. Otto Dichtel, joining us from London this morning, the Stifel Nicolaus European Managing Director. Thanks very much. Deutsche Bank shares right now down about 5.5% European trading. Again, Deutsche Bank missing estimates. Client jitters hitting the trading. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures 7 points lower. The Dow futures down 69. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures down 23 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Federal Reserve officials yesterday voted unanimously to keep monetary policy unchanged. The Fed's statement acknowledged that sentiment has gained and that inflation is likely to rise to their 2% target, even with gradual adjustments in interest rates.
And Rickett Benckiser in talks to acquire Mead Johnson's Nutrition for $16.7 billion, a 29% premium above Mead Johnson's last closing price. Shares of the baby food maker rose almost 24% in after-hours trading.
Deutsche Bank is down 5.5% in Frankfurt this morning after the bank reported a larger-than-expected net loss. Revenue from debt trading was up slightly, but couldn't offset a 23% drop in equity trading revenue. Overall, the bank's net loss narrowed to $2 billion. Analysts had expected a shortfall of $1.4 million.
Royal Dutch Shell reported fourth-quarter earnings that missed estimates. The rising price of oil drove up costs for refining. Meanwhile, Shell did little more than break even on production. Earlier this week, the company agreed to sell oil and gas fields in the North Sea and Thailand for as much as $4.7 billion.
Amazon set to release earnings after the bell today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more on what to look for.
The story from the online superstore could be a familiar one. Bloomberg Intelligence says Amazon may report that sales growth accelerated while heavy investment pressured its profit. Amazon has spent money on international expansion, increased capacity for its fulfillment operations, and original video content. The retailer's adjusted profit is projected to come in at $2.73 a share on revenue of $44.75 billion. Analysts are not voting against Amazon. The company gets 45 buy ratings and 5 hold ratings, not a single sell rating. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Fourth quarter sales rose more than forecast at Facebook. The social network's results were driven by demand from advertisers who want to reach consumers on mobile phones. Facebook sales were up 51% from a year ago. Monthly active users rose 17%.
We're watching shares of Facebook in early trading. They're up about 1% this morning. Futures are moving lower with S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 65, and NASDAQ futures down 22. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, we say good morning to Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. A major component of President Donald Trump's national security team is now in place. The Republican-controlled Senate confirmed Rex Tillerson to be Secretary of State on a 56-43 vote. Democrats mounted an unsuccessful campaign to derail the bid. The former ExxonMobil CEO was quickly sworn in during a ceremony in the Oval Office, where Trump showered him with praise.
This is where you were meant to be, right here, today, at this crossroads in history.
Demonstrations at the University of California, Berkeley, led to broken windows and smoke bombs. About 1,500 people protested an appearance by a polarizing editor of Breitbart News, Milo Yiannopoulos. after a smaller group of protesters became violent. The university canceled the speech. Australia's prime minister is insisting that the deal to resettle Muslim refugees rejected by Australia in the U.S. is still on. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull isn't commenting on a Washington Post report that during a conversation, President Trump called the agreement struck with the Obama administration dumb and accused Turnbull of trying to export the next Boston Marathon bombers. A spokesman for Mexico's presidential office is insisting that the tone of last Friday's conversation between President Donald Trump and Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto was respectful. According to Associated Press, a transcript of excerpts of the discussion shows Trump told the Mexican leader that he is ready to send U.S. troops to stop, quote, bad hombres down there, unless the Mexican military does more to control them. The Republican-led Congress is taking its first steps to unwind Obama-era regulations. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more.
The House has voted along party lines to overturn a couple of rules. One is in the SEC under the Dodd-Frank Act. It requires mining and drilling companies to report payments they make to U.S. and foreign governments. Oil and gas companies have argued for years the rule puts them at a competitive disadvantage. The other rule comes from the Interior Department. It prohibits mining companies from damaging streams outside their permit area. Both these rules now head to the Senate. Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up at 5:36 on Wall Street, and that is time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, as disappointing as this season has been for the Knicks, they are at least the best team in New York. They went to Brooklyn where they had lost four straight times, rallied to beat the Nets. 95-90, a 16-2 run gave them their first lead in the fourth quarter, and they did that without Carmelo Anthony, who sat out the fourth after shooting just 6 of 22. Kristaps Porzingis scored 19 points. Willie Hernangómez off the bench for 16 with 16 rebounds. Just the Knicks' sixth win in the last 22 games. The Nets are 9-40, 0-9 in the division, 10 straight home losses. Cleveland beat Minnesota. The Cavs come to the Garden Saturday. Reportedly, the Knicks are still trying to make an Anthony for Kevin Love trade, and the Cavs are still not interested. Much improved St. John's got to 6-6 in the Big East with an 86-72 win over Marquette. Seton Hall going to have a tough time making it back to the NCAAs. The Pirates fell at Xavier 72-70. Syracuse rallied to win in overtime at NC State as John Gillen of the Orange scored 43 points. He came in averaging 9 a game. At the Super Bowl, so much focus on the testy relationship between the Patriots and the commissioner, who, of course, suspended Tom Brady 4 games for Deflategate. Roger Goodell met the media in Houston.
I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me. We have a job to do. We do our job. As I said, there was a violation. We applied a process and discipline, and we came to a conclusion that was supported by the facts and by the courts. We understand when fans who are loyal and passionate for a team object and don't like the outcome. I totally understand that.
Goodell took heat for not attending the AFC Championship game, instead traveling to Atlanta 2 weeks in a row. Pats owner Robert Kraft says if the Patriots beat the Falcons Sunday, Goodell's invited to Foxborough for the 2017 opener. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. He is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. And good morning, Ed Curry.
Morning, John. Apple will more than double the size of its store on Manhattan's Fifth Avenue. Known for distinctive glass cube, the store will expand to 77,000 square feet and could bring new life to a retail area that suffered from high vacancies and congestion caused by the nearby Trump Tower, of course the New York home of President Trump. The New Jersey legislature will consider setting a $2 hotel room tax in Atlantic City. The move could mean $8.6 million in new annual revenue, which would go to the financially challenged resort's police and firefighting services. NJ Spotlight reports the city currently faces a $100 million budget shortfall. Nature's Bounty may attract bids from a number of private equity firms as owner Carlyle Group explores his sale of the vitamin and supplement company. People familiar with the matter say BC Partners and CVC Capital Partners are among those interested in the entire company, while others may make offers for its UK unit, Holland and Barrett. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Curry. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. As we've been reporting, Royal Dutch Shell this morning announced fourth quarter results that missed estimates. Following the news, the CEO, Ben Van Beurden, spoke to Bloomberg about the challenges that are facing the oil industry.
Our return is not where it needs to be. If you
look at where we think our return needs to be by the end of the decade, it should be a double-digit return at sort of oil prices that are slightly higher perhaps than they are today. That is what we are aiming at. That is what our financial transformation program that we are right in the middle of is aiming to achieve. We want to be a world-class investment case for our investors. That basically means strong returns on capital employed, a very strong free cash flow per share, and a resilient financial framework. And I think we are right in the middle of the transformation of the company to that endpoint.
Shell CEO Ben Van Beurden earlier this week announced the sale of fields in the North Sea and Thailand for as much as $4.7 billion. Today, he said the company's $30 billion divestment program is on track. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Steve Podesk on KNX in Los Angeles. I'm talking about California Teachers Pension Fund cutting its return goal to 7%.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Real Estate Investment Trust Invitation Homes ended the day unchanged in its trading debut.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. Heathrow has been told to limit night flights and add more domestic routes to win backing from MPs who still have to vote on the plans.
I'm Adrienne Mitchell, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Glenview-based Mead Johnson has a surprise suitor, Reckitt Benckiser.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting Cadillac is gaining ground in China.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg reporting across the globe this morning. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, we have S&P futures right now 7 points lower. The Dow futures down 58 points. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 20 points lower. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit nycb.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we're watching the dollar as it slumps against all its major peers after the Federal Reserve gave dollar bulls little to be optimistic about after the worst January in 30 years. Global equities are retreating as investors scrutinize mixed earnings from corporate heavyweights. At 8:30 Wall Street time, the Labor Department will issue its weekly report on jobless claims. Economists say claims probably dropped by 9,000 last week to 250,000. Bloomberg's Vinidale Giudice reports.
Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say the recent trend in jobless claims reflects a strong labor market, even with the prior report's four-week high. Claims have remained below 300,000 for 99 consecutive weeks, the longest since 1970. Friday, the government issues its monthly employment report for January, and economists anticipate an increase in the neighborhood of 175,000 jobs. Vinidale Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 9:45 this morning, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. Futures are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 7.5 points. Dow futures down 63. NASDAQ futures down 21. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.45%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 35 cents to $54.23 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.3% or $15.50 to $12.23.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.0810, the yen, 112.38. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the new Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, will speak to employees at the State Department this morning. The former Exxon CEO was sworn in last night during a ceremony in the Oval Office. The Senate confirmed Tillerson on a 56-43 vote. National Security Advisor Michael Flynn is warning that the U.S. will act against Iran unless it stops testing ballistic missiles and supporting Houthi rebels in Yemen. President Donald Trump tweeted, "Iran is rapidly taking over more and more of Iraq, even after the U.S. has squandered $3 trillion there." In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Nets 95-90. The Celtics and the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins lost to the Capitals 5-3. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John?
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's coming up on 5:50 at Wall Street. Time now to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. And we're joined live now by Ed Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning, Ed. Let's start off with Deutsche Bank. The bank sinks as a rising tide lifts the other boats. Now, to be fair, it is a restructuring story for Deutsche Bank.
And it has been for a very long time now.
Okay. Fair enough.
This is really a really good example of what things look like when your bank, and rather than the market, is the problem. Deutsche Bank came out this morning, of course, reporting a wider than expected loss for 2016, and annual revenue falling to the lowest in 5 years. Yes, there is some relief. John Cryan can claim to have resolved some of the big litigation threats that have hung over this bank. Yes, he can claim to have increased core capital to almost 12% without having to go to shareholders for a stock offering. But look, the big issue here is still market confidence and client confidence in this bank, something that Deutsche Bank itself acknowledged. That trust is hard to win back, and the shares fell as much as 7% this morning. Investors are right to be concerned here. The most urgent challenge for Cryan now is fixing the bank's brand and reputation and making sure that revenue isn't lost forever as he shrinks the business. As he tries to do that, a capital raising, one that actually allows the firm to thrive, not just to survive, may actually start to look like the least worst option. Certainly the fourth quarter numbers were nothing to cheer about. The bank missed out on the big gains of fixed income trading that you saw in the US. Trading revenue growth 10%. US peers reported 43%. This is a bank that's still in retrenchment mode. VAR, the value at risk measure, fell to the lowest in at least 2 years. Now, Cryan's talked about a strong start in January in the hope that 2016 will be the low point for revenue, but the pain could still worsen from here. Much of the strategy still depends on shrinking the cost base and selling assets to avoid a capital increase. That is still likely to hurt the top line as businesses are sold and key rainmakers depart.
Okay, he did say this year should be profitable. Let's move on to the next story. Facebook and Google have a $70 billion problem with crappy ads.
Yes, when the world's biggest marketer has put the tech giants and Madison Avenue on notice. This is, of course, Mark Pritchard, who's the chief brand officer at Procter & Gamble, and he has called for sweeping changes in how tech companies like Facebook and Google operate and has pointed to some of the opaque billing practices of ad agencies like WPP and Omnicom. Now, given that P&G spends about $7 billion every year promoting brands like Tide, Tampax and Pampers, this is a big deal. And with spending on online ads set to eclipse TV for the first time this year, marketers clearly want more accountability. They've been complaining about this for a while, but this is a real sign that they're starting to turn the screw. Now, Pritchard was too polite to call out companies by name. The points he made, he wants to end letting internet companies measure the effectiveness of their ads without outside verification. Hello, Facebook. He wants the ad agencies to get rid of sketchy practices in purchasing ad space. And he wants everyone to use the same standard for whether a video ad has actually been viewed for how long. Now, this just shows us there's only so much mucking about in digital that big advertisers will swallow without seeing some clear results.
All right, Ed, thanks a lot. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/GAFLY or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
Well, now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And the Law Brief is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Best speak with Judge James Harvey Wilkinson of the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals about the future of the Supreme Court after President Donald Trump nominated Neil Gorsuch to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia.
Is the court, in fact, now an originalist court?
Well, I think there's a great deal of difference in among the justices as to how attached they are to originalists. Even some originalists are strong originalists, and others are fairly faint originalists. And Justice Scalia once called himself a faint-hearted originalist. So there's a real spectrum here that we're talking about. And originalism is not quite the same as liberalism or conservatism. I mean, Scalia is generally regarded as a conservative, but he cast some very liberal votes on the issue of flag burning and the right to cross-examination, and he voted to invalidate criminal statutes such as the Armed Career Criminal Act. So it's important not to just take on that word originalism and see it as one and the same with conservatism.
Judge Wilkinson, sometimes justices, when they are on the bench for a while, don't fulfill the expectations of the presidents who appointed them. Tell us a little bit about what happens.
Well, every president might be in for some disappointments and surprises, and that's good, because a justice doesn't take an oath to support the president of the United States. A justice takes an oath to follow the law and to support the Constitution of the United States. So the fact that presidents may be disappointed doesn't bother me at all. History is just full of presidential disappointments.
Do you think that with Judge Gorsuch going on the bench, there will be much change in the way the court approaches issues generally, or will it be kind of the same as it was when Justice Scalia was there?
See, nobody really knows, because there's such a difference in judging on the Court of Appeals and judging on the Supreme Court, where you have the weight of ultimate responsibility and you have these huge mega issues. And we don't confront those at my level on the Court of Appeals. It's much more filling in gaps. So how the weight of that responsibility, which is just enormous, and is going to affect someone, I sure can't predict it.
And that's Judge James Harvey Wilkinson of the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, speaking with Bloomberg Law hosts Jim Grasso and Michael Best. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Yeah, that is this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
Futures this morning lower. S&P E-mini futures down 7 points. Dow futures down 54. NASDAQ futures down 19. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.1% now, and the FTSE 100 up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 2.45%, and NYMEX crude oil at $54.23 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podesk.
Germany and France both quickly rebuffed U.S. efforts to discuss bilateral trade agreements. EU sources tell Bloomberg BNA the contacts took place at, quote, an ignorant, unauthorized level. The director of the Congressional Budget Office told a Senate committee fiscal stimulus could boost short-term economic growth, but changes in the labor supply and other factors are needed for long-term growth. Senators from both parties have questions about a proposed 20% border tax on imports. They are concerned it'll make products more expensive.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.